Chapter 6. We're back in Jesus jargon.
Yeah, that's...
Isaac.
Yes, sir. That's awesome.
I did not do that.
I believe it. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9. This is probably about 1/3 of the way through your Bible. 2/3. What? Kind of. Chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Yes. Y'all got it? Everybody got it? If you got it, say got it. If you don't got it, say, oh man. That was way too many. You're deceiving me. Okay, let's stand on our feet. Oh man. And let's read God's word. God's word. Verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray, even though we just read a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to look at prayer together, Lord. To look at these things that we do all the time, that we know super well, and get to know it more. Get to know it on a deeper level. So we pray that we've learned something new. Fill us with your spirit to understand things that are beyond our own strength. And really transform our hearts, Lord, in a way that we can't even imagine tonight. We pray all this in your name, and all God's people said, amen. Have a seat. So we're still looking at Jesus jargon. We're going to be here for a while. And if you weren't here last week, Jesus jargon is a series where we're going to focus on those Christian things and words and phrases that we say a lot that we might know, like, deep on the left side or the right side of our brain, but we don't really know clearly what it means. Like, why do we stand and worship? What's the point of raising your hands? Why do we do service? Why is it important to clean the bathroom and not only just, like, do worship and stuff like that? Why do we do these kind of different things? And we've started looking at prayer. This is the focus of probably a couple weeks, maybe 3, maybe 4 weeks. And we're just taking a really deep look at prayer. And last week we looked at why prayer is important. Why and really how prayer is such a powerful tool in the life of a Christian. And today we're going to look at how to pray. Yes. No. This just happens to be that guy. But, okay, wait, seriously though, I know a lot of you guys, especially if you grew up in the church, right now, something deep inside of you is going, what? How to pray? Nobody can tell me how to pray. It's a freedom. There's no right or wrong way to pray. But before your, like, red alert goes off and you're like, just hear me out. Hear me out for just 4 seconds, five seconds, maybe longer than that because I'm a slow talker. But before you get crazy about it, so often we're taught that there's no right or wrong way to pray. And what ends up happening is we never end up being taught how to pray. And it sounds really simple, really, like, maybe elementary even. And you're like, I'm not in elementary school, I'm in junior high school. I know, but as simple as it might sound, it's a very important thing for us to learn. And so we end up going through life just learning prayer by example. We just listen to what other people say when they pray, what most people don't say when they pray, what makes us feel weird when some people pray certain things. And so we kind of navigate through example. But I believe that there is one person who walked this planet Earth that set a perfect example for us to look at when learning how to pray. And that person, of course, is... Jesus! Yes. So, Our main focus today is we're just going to look at this passage where Jesus literally says, when you pray, pray like this. So we're going to examine Jesus' model prayer and then see what points we can apply to our personal prayer life. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Y'all good with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh? That took you 1 minute and 8 seconds.
Oh, well, really, not really, because I said, as soon as I said, it did take me longer than 5 seconds. Sorry. Okay. So let's break this prayer down. Before we look at a simple outline, I want to break it down. Let's look at Jesus' prayer in depth. You ready? Open your Bibles, if they're not yet, because you need to see it with your own eyeballs. Okay, so it starts. Our Father in heaven. Here, Jesus simply addresses who he's speaking to. And he could have spoken to the Holy Spirit, but he speaks to the Father God, which I think is important because, as we know, the Father is seated on the throne in heaven. As far as like the Trinity goes, the Father is the kind of planner, puts everything in motion. Jesus is the one who gives us access to the Father, and the Holy Spirit is the one right here with us, helping us out every step of the way. So God is the planner, the one putting things in motion. So it makes sense for him to speak to God the Father. So he says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I used to think that we were talking about Halloween, like hallowed be thy name. But no, it's not. Basically what hallowed means is, or hallowed, it means to be holy and set apart. So when Jesus says, hallowed be your name, he's saying even just your name is so holy and so set apart from the things of this world. It's incredible. So what he's doing right there is he's praising God. Then he goes on and says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Here he's saying, like we looked at last week, have your way. Like, just as you get to do whatever you want and to have happen in heaven, let that be the way it is on earth. So have your way here on planet earth just as you have it in heaven. Then he says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, this isn't talking about like spiritual bread. You know how a lot of times we have like even those pamphlets that say daily bread and it feeds your spiritual side. He's strictly talking about nutrients. Give me what I need to get through my day. So that's water, that's shelter, that's food, protein, shoes. Because if you're barefoot for too long, it's going to hurt. You know what I'm talking about? So this is really, it's the bare necessities. He's saying, God, without you, I would not get through life. Without you, I couldn't make it. So I need you. I need you to provide for those basic needs in my life. Then he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And this isn't talking about that when we accepted the Lord into our hearts, how we were no longer destined to a life in hell or eternity in hell, but we then were transformed, forgiven of our sin, and given the opportunity, the privilege to spend eternity with God in heaven. It's not talking about that, but it's talking about a relational forgiveness. Every time we sin, like we talked about Sunday, we get kind of pushed a little bit further from God. Like that sin drives a wedge in our lives that pushes us a little further and further from God. So this isn't a salvation forgiveness. It's a relationship forgiveness, saying, Lord, I know things have kind of gotten crazy. There was that weird thing on my mind, that weird thing someone said, that crazy thing I did. And I just want to be forgiven and want to get things back in order so that we can continue with the closeness that we normally have. And so it's just getting that relational closeness back together, like you would need to with your friend. If you like got really mad and like socked your buddy or your friend in the face, that doesn't happen often, hopefully. But even if that happened, you'd have to talk about it, right? Am I right? There'd have to be a conversation because there'd be that wrongdoing in between you guys. So you'd have to work it out back together. Do not lead us into temptation, he goes on to say, but deliver us from the evil one. Here he's saying that apart from God, apart from the power of Jesus, apart from the Holy Spirit, we would be so destined to fall in temptation. We would be so destined to just give in to sin because we need his power. And so he's saying, I'm not going to be sinless because of my own strength. The only chance I have is that you keep me from temptation. So he's saying, protect me from temptation. Protect me from the things that go on in this world. I am weak, God, but you are so strong. And that's simply what he's saying there. Protect me from what's going on in this world. I'm weak, but you are so much stronger than me. So I need you to do this for me. And then he goes on and says, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now this is full-on praise and worship. We sing like these exact words in songs at times. He's simply praising God. He's giving authority and power and praise where it is due. And that is God. That's the Father in heaven. So he praises God. And then he says, amen. And what that means is, I love this. It means, so it is, so be it, may it be fulfilled. So it like covers all of it. Like presence, past, like participle, possible. I mean, I don't even know all the tenses that are possible. But it covers them all. And when we say amen, we're saying, so it is, so be it, let that happen, I agree, may it be fulfilled, may that happen. So when we pray something and then we say amen at the end, we're saying, that's what I agree with. It's like, you know, when a politician at the end of their little message goes, and I approve this message. That's what we're saying. We're saying, I approve of this entire thing, I agree completely. So now, what I want to give you is, because that prayer can be very complex, and it might seem very simple, but there's a lot going on. There's a lot that Jesus is saying, a lot that he's doing, a lot that he's focusing on and really challenging us as the human race in. So I want to break the personal prayer of a Christian down to a simple outline, to where if you follow this in every personal prayer that you do, just the outline, you'll be following the example that Jesus sets forth in his model prayer. And we got the outline right here. Oh my goodness. How did that happen? Can you? Oh, whoa, golden. Okay, awesome. So yeah, this is our outline. Salutation, upward, inward, outward, upward. I have no fancy way for you to remember that except to say it fast and be like, upward, inward, outward, upward. Upward, inward, outward, upward. But yeah, if you can get that memorized, and I'm going to break it down and explain what I mean by each part, but if you can get that memorized and then apply it to your personal prayer life, you will see a change. You will see a transformation. So first, the salutation. This is also what we call the beginning of a letter. Did you guys know that? The, like, dear mommy, that is your salutation. When you're writing to your mom and you're like, dear mom, yeah, that's the salutation. Sometimes we say different things to whom it may concern. That's really, like, informal. You should never do that. Even if you're writing it to, like, a fancy person, like, that works as like a CEO somewhere, you need to find out their name. Don't say to whom it may concern. It's rude. It's saying you don't have the time to at least figure out who you're writing to. So just as a side note. So here in the salutation, we need to make it clear who we're talking to. And we just a couple weeks ago, we learned that we can pray to the Holy Spirit. So the salutations we're used to, you know, are like, dear Jesus, dear God, dear Father, our Father in heaven, but you can mix it up. You don't need to get into these habits and then just stick with that. Say, dear Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, Heavenly Father, my friend, my brother, my sister, my BFF forever. That's true, but that's cheesy. But yeah, here in the salutation, you just indicate who you're talking to, who you're speaking to. You can pray to the Trinity. Pray to them all at once. They are one person, separate, holy, together, but that gets complicated. But yeah, so in our salutation, it's when we say, dear, to whom? To whom it may concern, but be specific. It's respectful. So we start with the salutation, and then we go upward. And what I mean by that is the first start of your prayer needs to be upward toward the Lord. You need to start your prayer out with praise. Thank God for something that just happened. Even if it was like the breath you just took, or you're thankful that you got into a school, or you're thankful that you got a good grade on that test, or you're thankful that your parents aren't like punishing you or whatever, I don't know, or your parents aren't making you do chores or whatever it is, whatever you're thankful for, whatever God has done in your life, or even if it's just salvation. Dear Jesus, I am so thankful that you would die for me. I'm thankful that you love me, even though sometimes I have a hard time loving you and remembering you in certain situations. We set our focus first on the Lord, and we say, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. We praise him. We give him honor where the honor is due. And then we go from upward to inward. This is different for group prayer. In group prayer, you don't really spend a lot of time like unpacking your personal life. So we're going to look at group prayer next week, and we're going to see how kind of praying in a group is a little different than praying on your own. But so just know that this is strictly when you're praying on your own with the Lord. So then you go to the inward. And this is where you pray for yourself. And notice that we do not first pray for others. And that is because we need to get our relationship with the Lord in line. We need to get what's going on inside of us in line before we start trying to fix the world around us, before we start trying to bring into prayer the things that are going on around us. So even if it's as simple as Jesus prayed, forgive me my sins as I forgive those who have sinned against me, we need to do that. We need to get what's going on in our life back in line. But odds are that there's a lot of things that you need to be bringing before the Lord, whether it's what happened at school, what's going on with your family right now, or what you're worried about could happen in the future, or this feeling that you have in your chest and kind of in your back that you can't explain, but it makes you worried and concerned, and you don't know what's going on, and you're anxious, but sort of upset at the same time. Bring that to the Lord. We need to bring ourselves before the Lord. So we go upward, we focus on the Lord, and then we go inward and talk about what's going on in our life. This is where we get God involved with what's going on in our lives. And like we talked about last week, he has so much planned out for you. All you have to do is welcome him into the picture and say, Lord, get involved with what's going on right now. Lord, have your way in my life. And then we go outward. This is when we pray for the things around us. Pray for others. Pray for what's going on with your friend and his family, or your friend and her sister, or her brother, or whatever's going on anywhere, your uncle, your aunt, your fears, your frets, your worries about what could happen to America, anything. I'm serious. This is where you pray about what's going on in the world, and then also what's going on around you. So we take time. We go upward. We go inward. We look at ourselves. We bring God into our lives. Let him change us, tweak us in any way that we need to. And then we start that ministry of prayer for the people around us, the situations that are going on around us. And then we go upward again. And here's what we need to remember. Praise and worship of God should be the bookends of a Christian's prayer life. So what I mean by that is praise should start your prayer life, and praise should end your prayer life. You should always be coming to God with excitement about what he's done, who he is. Even if it's difficult for you to be excited about something, be thankful that Jesus has done whatever he's done for you. And then end your prayer with praise. Jesus said, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I agree with this. And yours might be, Lord, you are faithful even when I have difficulty being that, but help me to follow that example. Or, Lord, you have kept my life running smooth up until this point, and I know you will continue to do it even though it looks like it's falling apart right now. Whatever reason you have to praise the Lord, do that. So praise at the beginning, praise at the end. Praise and worship are the bookmarks of the Christian prayer bookmarks, bookends of the Christian prayer life, and bookmarks. You should be doing it halfway through, too. So now, as we come to a close, I want to look at two things that Jesus tells us should not be in our personal prayer life. And you have to realize we're focusing on the personal side of things, and that's just going to help you not get confused about some things. The first thing he says is you should never pray to get attention. He says this in verses 5 through 6. And he's talking about, he calls them hypocrites. So people who try to act holy and righteous, but inside they are corrupt. They are carnal. There is nothing good going on. And these people, they stand on the corner of streets and they're like, and they start praying right in that moment to draw all the attention to them. And they probably even convince themselves that what they're doing is holy. You know, I'm doing it in a place where it's, you know, no one's really walking, so it's just in the middle of the street, and I'm just gonna lift my hands really high so people know that I'm praying so they don't interrupt me. But in that moment, even if deep inside these people have convinced themselves that they're doing it 100% for the Lord, they are receiving a reward that Jesus called, or that commentators have called, being looked up to. And we know what that is, when people look up to us because of the way we pray, because of the words we used, or the position that we took when we did it. And Jesus says, if you're doing something in your prayer life for reward, that is the reward that you get. And that's where it ends. So if you pray to be recognized and noticed by people so that people know that you and God have like a cool vocabulary, and that like you and God go out to like the public park and you pray really big and loud and stuff, the reward that you get is only what people see. And that can be a cool thing. People might think like you're really spiritually mature, but it doesn't have eternal benefit. It's not gonna last. So Jesus says, when you're praying personally, when it is just between you and God, go into your room, shut the door, and go into the secret place that is between you and Jesus. Because you're not going to talk to someone else. You're not going to go and look good in front of somebody else. You're going to talk with God. And that's the only person that needs to be involved with it. So Jesus says, go into the secret. Don't even tell anybody that you're praying. Just talk to him and let it be a private thing. And keep in mind, that's not talking about group prayer. We're going to get more into group prayer because group prayer is kind of a totally different thing on its own. But that is when we're praying to the Lord and keeping it a personal thing, we don't need other people to see. We don't need to be noticed for our prayer life. And this is a thing that can be easy to struggle with, especially at like camps. At camps, I was always a person who I'd go on like a boulder that's high on a hill but far enough from people to where it's clear that I'm doing something spiritual, but it's also clear that people can still see me. You know what I'm talking about? And like it's far enough out to where they know I'm serious, but it's close enough in to where they can still see me. And it's really bad. And we don't realize that our spirit kind of has these things going on. So Jesus says it's better to just go to your room, shut the door, and have a private prayer life. Do it while you're doing homework. You don't need to tell people that you're praying. You don't need to make it this big ordeal. Make it a private, personal situation between you and God. So Jesus tells us, never pray to get the attention of people in this world, even if it's people you look up to. And then he says, do not use vain repetitions. Now, vain repetitions, he talks about this in verses 7 through 8. They can be a lot of different things, but usually they're the use of habit prayers. And habit prayers are, you know, those like, dear Lord, we thank you for this day. You're so holy, so good to us. And we pray that you will keep our path straight. In your name I pray, amen. We have these prayers kind of like written, ingrained in our mind. And Jesus is telling us to stretch out of that. Get away from those things that are habitual prayers in your life and start praying things that have genuine meaning from you. If you've heard somebody pray it 1,000 times, it doesn't mean you need to be continuing praying that. You need to pray something else. Pray what's personal between you and God. And then this can also be phrases that have no meaning to us. So if it's just a phrase that you heard somebody pray in a prayer and you feel like you should pray that also because it sounds spiritual, Jesus is saying you don't need that. It shouldn't be a part of your life. The words that you pray, the phrases that you use, is not going to help you get any closer or clearer to God. So he's saying, forget about the vain repetitions. He's saying, don't copy this prayer that I just told you to pray. And there's a lot of groups of Christianity that believe that when Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, that he meant when you pray, pray these exact words all the time. And that's not what he meant. He just gave us that basic outline of first looking upward, inward, outward, and then upward once again. And that is what we need to apply to our life. From tonight's teaching, we don't need vain repetitions, we don't need fancy words or phrases, we just need that upward praise, that inward focus. Bring God into what's going on in your life, and then think about the world around you. How can you pray for the world around you? And then once again, bring it back to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we don't have to navigate this prayer life on our own. It's not like you said, here's the ability to pray, figure it out yourself, I hope it works out well. You gave us specific examples of how to pray. You gave us the Holy Spirit that sometimes tells us exactly what to pray when we don't know what to pray. And we are so thankful because we are weak and we need you in our lives. We need you to show us the ways to go, because often we are confused, we're crushed by the things of this world. And so we pray that you would teach us to apply this outline of prayer that you displayed in your prayer to our lives. Help us to bring you praise on every end of our prayer, to bring you into our lives, and then to bring you into the things that are going on around us. We love you so much, Father. We pray that we put this to practice in our small groups now. Be in every word that we speak in small groups, and give us just an openness and a trust and a love with each other, just as we should have for the family of Christ. We pray all this in your name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.